Good morning, sunshine. 7 a.m. on Saturday. Time to talk to your favorite handyman.
I'm so happy to talk to you. You've been my go-to guy for years.
So cozy up with your coffee or get to work. But whatever you do, keep that radio on and tuned in to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou.
Who's better than Lou? Nobody.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good day, sunshine. 7:13
in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. Good morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems and by Ace Hardware.
The sun is shining down.
In the WGN newsroom, this is the greatest thing ever. Joe Brand, I don't know if you had a chance to see Domati's co-sponsoring co-hosting rather of the Chicago's Best. There I was, you know, lying in bed at 10 o'clock at night getting ready to go to sleep, and I'm kind of half awake, you know. I'm like, when is he going to be on? And then I'm watching, and then at one point he said, call me Chef Boyardee Domati. And all of a sudden I woke up, and then I had to watch the whole thing. You did such a nice job on that show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Lou, thank you.
And exactly what you told me last week, I got to see you stuff your face full of food. Sam Panionovich sent me some screenshot of you holding a giant rib, and your eyes are bugged out of your head, and I'm going, what is that? That is not the right picture of you.
It was terrible. What makes it, he didn't just send it to you, he tweeted it to the universe.
Yeah. Oh, great.
So, yes, that picture is now etched in the memory of the internet.
I can't unsee that picture.
I know. Thank you, Sam.
You did a really nice job. But it looked like you were having fun.
I did. And actually, it took me a long time to figure out how to pronounce Luca Mata. So we make these Luca Mata French toast, which Luca Mata is like a Greek donut. And I was calling it the Uncle Lou because I couldn't pronounce it.
Those look fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, I was shouting you out on there.
Yeah,
you just did a nice job
interacting with everybody, which I'm not surprised by. And so good job. Nice
Thank
job.
You. It's a yeah, lot of fun.
You can watch, and I know that if you didn't get a chance to see it, if you go to Chicago's Best, they have a website, and the individual segments, I think, are there. And so you're all over that show.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Thank you for watching. Thank all of you guys for watching.
Yeah, very fun. Very fun. Joe Brand, nice to have you back from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Did they win the game?
They did. They won that game, yeah.
Nice.
It's been a little bit of a slow stretch since then, but yeah, they won on Saturday.
I was thinking about you. Who's this kid that came up for the Cubs?
David Bodie.
And right, he came up in Denver when they were playing Denver.
His hometown state,
gets
too.
His first hit. You're going to love this, Lindsay. This kid, how old of a kid would you say? He's 28, maybe? 27?
No. He's younger. I would say maybe 24. I'm trying to think.
Okay, so this kid gets called up.
25.
He gets called up. He has a wife and two small children, okay? And he's ready to quit. He's been in single A ball, right? Is that right?
Four, technically.
4 years in single A ball, which, as you know, this and Joe calls, right? You're the King County Cougars.
He was on our team 2 years, 2013 and 2014.
These kids do not make a lot of money, and they got a huge schedule. They're going to town, and he's ready to quit. And his wife says to him, "We didn't spend 4 years in double A ball or single A ball for you to quit," and he doesn't quit. And he gets called up to play for the Cubs in Denver, his hometown. Right? Did he get a double?
He did. A double in his first at bat.
First at bat, major league. His whole family, he's from Denver, is there watching the game.
Oh, I love it.
Right? And he gets this hit. He's a pretty good player.
Awesome. He was one of the most sincere, nicest guys. Like, obviously, you meet players, you talk to them, you interview them, and yeah, they're all good guys. But this guy is just genuinely nice. Just could never be more sincere when talking in an interview, chatting, anything like that. And you always felt for him. Honestly, Lou, I thought he'd be released. I would not be surprised. A few years ago, he just slowly made his way up, started making a name for himself, and now up at the big league level.
Well, and I mean, I'm sure the adrenaline was going, but in that particular game that I watched, he was playing. I think he was playing third base, wasn't he?
Yeah, he filled in for Chris Bryant.
Yeah, and that was before Bryant got hit.
Mm-hmm.
And he played a really good game. He had some great defensive plays, and I was just really super happy for him. And then now Chris Bryant got hurt with that getting beamed in the head, which was a scary thing to see. And he's still on the roster, right?
Right. I mean, well, and that's, I mean, unfortunately, that's usually what happens for these guys. They're hanging around AAA, not hoping for an injury, but waiting for something like
an
that.
An opportunity.
To get an opportunity. And then when it happens, you know, you're the first person that they think of.
Yeah.
So he gets called
up. Good for him. That's great. That's cool that you got a chance to talk to that guy. And I just love that his wife was the motivator. You're not going to quit. We didn't do this for 4 years for you to quit.
Yeah, she used to drive from Tennessee to Iowa to Myrtle Beach with
two
the kids.
Two little kids.
With the kids, car crammed.
Lindsay,
with
they're
all
like
stuff.
Your girls. I think it's two girls. And they're little kids. And so that was really cool. Very cool. All right. And then one other thing I want to talk to you men about, as well as Lindsay. I was thinking about this. We this summer are going to do a show dinner. Okay?
All right.
We're going to plan this out, Domati. You and your lovely lady. Joe, you and your lovely lady, Lindsay and her handsome husband, me and my lovely lady, we're going to do a show dinner. I'm going to leave it to Lindsay to plan a date, and we'll figure out when we can all get together, and we'll have a good time.
Oh, that's exciting.
All right?
That sounds awesome.
A summer... Bodie, right? What's his name? Bodie?
David Bodie.
David Bodie. People are calling in. What's the name of the guy? David Bodie. He's not invited to dinner.
Maybe.
He could be. He could be. He said he's a nice guy.
Maybe we'll have Uncle Lou's?
We can go. Sure.
Chef Boraide.
Yeah, well,
can make
actually,
points.
We're going to have a show dinner, and Domati's going to make dinner.
All right.
That sounds like a plan.
Don't give him any ribs, otherwise, he'll just be staring at the ribs.
Pictures,
the whole time.
Right, exactly. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix It Show on 720 WGN. This is Michelle in Arlington Heights. Michelle, good morning.
Hi, Lou.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. How can I help you?
Oh, when we moved into our house, there was the biggest blue spruce. Like, I swear it touched the sky. And we had it cut down because it hid most of the house.
Okay.
Now I'm having trouble growing grass, like the circumference of where the branches were.
Right. Right.
So I need some help, please.
So the biggest problem with spruce trees is they drop a lot of needles.
Mm-hmm.
And when they drop a lot of needles, they change the pH of the soil. And so your problem is more than likely the pH level is off in that area. So when you remove the tree, is it relatively flat? Like they ground out the stump and everything?
They did ground the stump. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the area now where the tree was, it's not like a hump or anything like that, right?
No.
Okay. So let's try this. I mean, in a perfect world, I'd like you to get a pH tester to see what the soil is. You know, the scale for pH is like 0 to 14. 7 is right where you want to be.
Okay.
Grass likes that kind of even pH. You could do all that. Or what you could do is you could add some lime to that area to raise the pH. I'm always trying to remember this. You put the lime in there to bring the pH up. Okay.
Okay.
And you're gonna sprinkle that over that area. Is there any grass there now?
It's like baby hairs, kind of, you know, from the seed that we've put down to try. So not.
And,
sort of
and
really.
Is it and is it pretty is it pretty do you get a lot of sun?
Yeah, it's in our front yard.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. So here's what I want you to do. Get a little lime, sprinkle it over the area right there and kind of rake it in, okay? Changing the pH of the soil takes time, okay? So mm-hmm. It'll take a couple weeks and you're gonna sprinkle that on there, but you can also at the same time go ahead and put grass seed on there. I really like this DuraTurf grass seed from Bonide.
DuraTurf
grass seed Bonide? From Bonide. Okay. B-O-N Bonide. I-D B-O-N-I. Why can't I say it?
B-O-N-I-D-E.
B-O-N-I-D-E. Yeah.
I put a T. Okay.
Yeah. D.
Yeah. Okay.
And use that in a sunny mix. After you put the lime in there, leave the lime in the coconut and shake it. No, put the lime on there, leave it a couple days, then put the grass seed on there. If you want to sprinkle a little peat moss over the top of that, you can do that as well. and you should have grass growing pretty quick.
Rock on.
Rock on, Michelle. Thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it. It's 7:23 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Lou Manfredini, that is, right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet, I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
WGN-TV's new lead anchor, Joe Donlan, joins the Steve Cochran Show at Monday morning at 8:40. The greatest Chicago welcome on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You may be driving around right now noticing that there's a bunch of volunteers for Misericordia because this is Candy Day weekend. Candy Day's weekend. This is day two. Please be generous with your donations. Volunteers all over Chicagoland collecting money for Misericordia, a wonderful campus that's home to 600 adults and children with developmental disabilities on Chicago's North Side, helping them live lives of dignity, purpose, and love. And speaking of love, I love all of you because we had a challenge of my virtual candy jar of raising $5,000. And Lindsay, I think we're well over $6,000. Part of that virtual candy jar was a pronouncement from Townstone Financial that they would match up to $5,000, which they're going to do. So a big thank you to Barry Sterner and his team at Townstone Financial. We're going to talk to Barry this morning after 9 o'clock about his commitment to Miz and what they do and how much we appreciate his help. So we have collectively, with all of your help, raised well over $11,000 as part of our virtual candy jar, which is awesome. Absolutely awesome. So thank you so much for your generosity on behalf of the volunteers, employees, and residents of Misericordia. 312-981-7200 is the number. That's Paula in Wheaton. Paula, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great.
Great. My question is, this past month, our water bill and heating bill doubled out of nowhere. And I'm at a loss to figure out what happened. We don't have any toilets running over or anything like that. And I didn't know if you had any suggestions as to what to look for.
Last month, your water bill was double.
And the heating bill.
And the heating bill. Well, you know, it's been cold. Are you looking month to month? In other words, when you said double, so we're talking about March, right?
Right.
Are you looking at what your March bill was in 2017?
Just as an average.
Right. Okay, but now the average daily temperature, I have heard this from a lot. So the heating bill, part of it could be due to weather.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you go back, a lot of times with your heating bill, where are you, Paula? You're in Wheaton, so you're on NICOR.
Yeah.
Don't they put an average temperature of what that month was on your bill typically?
They do. I can look back at that.
Yeah. So I think that this is for a lot of people that are looking year to date and they're going, wow, this is so much more expensive. I mean, Domati just said it's going to be 20 degrees tonight. It's April 28th. I'm angry at this weather. Right? Like most of us.
Yes.
And so that could be the issue. Now, your water bill is a little bit different story. That has doubled?
Yes. So where we would pay around $70, it was like $150.
Did you have a lot of guests in March? Did you have
a
big party?
No, I mean, we did not. I mean, we had two people stay over, so it was an extra 4 showers.
Right.
That was it.
Did they take really long showers?
Not that I was aware of.
And you have a water meter, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the thing that I would inspect is, with everything off that you know in your home is off, go by that meter and you'll see a dial on there and make sure it's not turning. Okay. That's something you can determine yourself. If all of a sudden you're like, wait, everything's off, how come this dial is going? And if that dial is going, it could mean that you've got a breach in a pipe somewhere that you don't know about. Okay. The other thing, go ahead.
Oh, I just said okay.
Okay. The other thing is that it is not uncommon that you could have a toilet in a room that you don't go to all the time that has a little click on a toilet, and it's just running and running and running. Are there any bathrooms in your home that you don't normally use on a regular basis?
No, we have a really small home.
Okay, so there's not some like powder room that nobody ever uses or a basement?
Like in a basement or something, or no.
Nothing like that. Okay.
No.
So I would determine all of that. Then I would pay attention to, you pay your water bill monthly?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you get your April bill, right, which you probably haven't gotten yet?
Right.
Take a look and see if all of a sudden you see, wow, this is double again, then I would contact the village to come out and inspect to make sure there's not a problem with the meter.
Okay,
so that's what I would go. But the heating thing, I think, hey, Lindsay, can you look up for me? I don't know if you can find this, but can you tell me what the average temperature was in the month of March in 2017? Excuse me. Yeah, 2017, March, average daily temperature. And then what the average daily temperature was March of 2018. Keep listening, Paula, and we'll get that information. I think that's going to be what it's going to be. 312-981-7200 is the number. Let's see. Who was there? Oh, you did that, right? Steve's in Lincolnwood. Steve, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking me on.
What can I do for you, sir?
Well, I purchased a home last August, and it was built in the mid-50s. The upstairs bathroom still has the original fixtures, but I'm really not ready to pull the trigger on a remodel. And the sink vanity is Formica. It's a dark gray, kind of a charcoal with a white etch in it. And the top has become dull and cloudy over, 60 years of use. And I was wondering if there's any way I can restore the finish on the top of that.
Just to buy you some time?
Yeah, just so it looks a little nicer while I'm getting the money together.
Okay. So you have a couple ways to go, I think I'll tell you to go the second way. The first one is Rust-Oleum makes this product called Countertop Transformations, and their kit is really for a kitchen, so it's bigger than what you need for a vanity. The kit's about $250, but it's really, really nice, and it almost looks like you have granite countertops when you're done. That is a kitchen solution as far as I'm concerned. For you, what I would do is I would use a product called Amy Howard Chalk Base Paint. Okay? And you're going to use a combination of her paint and a sealer that's going to go over the top of the paint. You're going to wipe down the counter. And even though she says you don't have to sand it, I'm going to lightly sand that. And you're going to pick a color that looks really nice, and you're going to paint it. And is your sink an overmount sink or an under? It's an overmount sink, right?
Yeah. It's got the metal band.
Perfect. So you're going to paint this. You're going to put the sealer on the top. It's going to buy you a year, maybe a year and a half. If you chip it, paint it again.
Okay.
And it'll look great.
What kind of sealer would you recommend?
Her sealer. It's a sealer that she has over the top of it. So you're going to buy a quart of her paint. You can mix it in any color you want. They have pre-mixed colors. You can find it at Ace, pre-mixed colors, but they can also tint any color you want. Use the sealer over the top of that. It'll look really nice.
Okay, cool. I know when it gets wet, it looks like, it goes back to its color again, and I've seen things about using Mop and Glow or different kinds of car waxes or something.
If you're just trying to buy yourself some time, just paint it and get a new color, and it'll brighten it all up again. And then just know that, don't be scrubbing it when you go to clean it. You got to be gentle on that. But if you chip it or something, just keep the paint in the vanity with a brush and touch it up, and it buys you some time until you get to the point where you're able to, remodel the kitchen, or excuse me, the bathroom the way you want to. Thanks so much for the phone call. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show, which, by the way, next week will be called House Smarts Radio. We're just getting you all ready. We're having a consistent name across all the different shows that I do. And my thanks to the folks here at WGN Radio for allowing us to do that. And so I don't have to constantly check myself. And I think it'll be better for the show, because it's going to be, the show, as you know, is more encompassing than just a guy with a wrench in his back pocket, which, when you're sitting here for a long time, that wrench kind of pokes at you. We'll be right back.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show here on WGN Radio. What I want, you got,
it might be hard to handle. Welcome back. Like a flame that burns a candle. House Smarts Radio on 720 WGN. Jimmy's in Lamont. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How can I help you?
I have a nice house, two-story in Lamont, and the tile in the kitchen, many of it's cracked. And the question I have is, underneath, down in the basement, it has 2x10s, not 2x12s. Does that make a difference?
Well, how long is the span of the 2x10?
About 24 feet.
With no beam in the center?
Let me see. I know there's I got the big post, but there's no post through the house. You know, our house is so fairly that, big.
So those 2x10s are unsupported for 24 feet.
I believe so.
All right.
Now, I know it does have cross members on it.
Yeah, they have bridging. I mean, you know, kind of the old school carpentry rule of thumb was a 2x10 could go 20 feet. A 2x12 could go 24, unsupported, 16 on center. A 2x8 can go 16 feet. You know, that was kind of a... Now, there's different load calculations that architects use now, but for the most part, that works. If you're getting a lot of spring in that floor, you know, movement, you know, it sounds like you're exceeding the span without any kind of support. Now, I don't know if it's possible for you to put some kind of cross beam in the middle to take that bounce out. I mean, when you're on the floor and walking around, do you feel the floor move? Obviously.
Not necessarily, but we do have like 30 cracked tiles. Right. Like, I think they're 18 by 18.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's the problem, too. If you get a little bit of movement, especially with larger tile, fewer grout lines, that's where you're going to see all the cracking. Well, ultimately, Jim, what is it you want to do? Do you want to replace the floor?
Yes, you want to replace the floor, and that's going to be close to $20,000.
Mm. Wow. On the whole first floor.
Yeah, a good size of the kitchen and going into the dining room. I mean, what are you going to do? We got tiles throughout the kitchen and the dining room.
And do we want to keep a tile or do you want to go to something else?
She wants to keep the tile. Oh. She's kind of hard at it. I don't want to keep the tile, but...
Doesn't matter what you want, yeah. Jimmy.
I know. I mean, you know, we got underneath all the cabinets and the dishwasher.
Before you put new tile on, you got to have someone come out and determine that floor is not bouncing around too much. And you probably want to get a really good flooring contractor that knows what they're doing to do this tile. And that some, you know, and they're going to tell you we got to get this. What is the basement finished or unfinished?
Unfinished.
Okay, well, hold on a second. I'm going to give you the name of somebody that I think could at least talk to you about this to make sure that whatever you put down there, you're going to have to get someone else to fix the bouncy floor, but they can at least help you determine all that. All right, 7:56 in the morning. We're bouncing around a little bit, and I'm a little late on our new Tulu 2 that we'd like to do. We're going to do our new Tulu 2 now? Let's do our new Tulu 2. It is a known fact that we don't drink enough water in general, all of us. And it's like some statistic out there, you know, like I know the average daily temperature in Wheaton from year to year, but there's some high statistic that most of us are walking around dehydrated all the time. This Noodaloo 2 is going to help you eat. Yeah, it's going to help you. It's going to help you stay hydrated. Take a listen.
Every year, my New Year's resolution is simple, drink more water. I usually start out pretty good, you know, the usual 8 to 10 glasses a day, but after like a month, like most resolutions, mine falls by the wayside and I'm back to forgetting to pour and drink that agua. So when we came across this week's new Tulu 2, I really wanted to try it. The Hydrate Spark Smart Water Bottle, that's right, it's smart, will track your water intake and glow to remind you to stay hydrated. The bottle actually pairs with your smartphone, and then you can change things like the glow frequency and even the color throughout the day. In the app, you add things in your personal details like your weight and fitness level. You can also add glasses in that you drink from something other than the bottle. It's a great tracker to see when you're drinking throughout the day. Good thing this is for water and not wine. How much? And of course, you will get reminders on your device, even your Apple Watch or Fitbit, when you drink. The bottle goes for about $55, so you've got to really want to monitor your water intake. You can find out more at hydrate.com. That's HIDRATE.com. That's this week's new Tulu 2.
Okay. You want to hold up your smart water bottle?
Go ahead. For the audience to see?
Yeah, hold it up.
Holding.
It's a water bottle. It's a white water bottle. This happens to be white.
They come in
various colors. And it is a nice water bottle for $55.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is that I don't want to be a Debbie Downer.
I know.
Okay? And here is my thing, and I talked about this on our New York show today. My beautiful, wonderful Tia Rosa, my Aunt Rose, who's in her 90s, doesn't drink enough water. When I go to see her in Highland Park, I tell her, Tia, you got to drink water. I have a glass. I hand it to her, and she drinks the water. But she forgets. She just doesn't like it. She said if there was a little wine in there, I would drink that. Which maybe what they really should be doing is creating a wine bottle that reminds you to drink. Why is that horrible?
I do not want to know how much I drink.
Okay. Maybe you have a point. But here's the thing. So now, if you filled up the water bottle for my Aunt Rose, and you said, you got to finish that water, you know, don't forget. It blinks when you're not drinking enough water. As a reminder.
Right.
Okay? I'm coming up with a positive spin here. Then when my cousins come...
There's so many people that are like that.
My Aunt Rose doesn't have a smartphone.
Water all the time.
She doesn't have a smartphone. But now when my cousins come home with their smartphone, I wonder, does the smartphone only tell you you're not drinking when it's close by the bottle? Probably. It's not.
Yes,
the bottle's not Wi-Fi enabled, right?
No.
Right. It's Bluetooth.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both kind of like, eh, and you changed your tune.
I did, because I started getting these notifications, and here I think I'm drinking this water, and by the end of the day yesterday, I was only at like 38% of what I should have drank.
Did you want to tell people about the picture you sent me? You're like, oh my gosh, look at the thing, it's blinking, and you were holding the water bottle up, but you had a glass of wine in your hand in the picture too.
Did I?
No. Oh. So... I'm not sure it's working.
Well, I think maybe 55 is a little. Maybe $30.
Okay, $29.99.
Yeah.
Smart water bottle, 2 for $50.
And like the girl that where we found this at the Houseware show.
Yeah.
And the woman that told us about it,
right?
Actually, before she even knew about it from the Houseware show, she had bought it for her like family.
Right.
I think that her and her sister and her mom have like a competition to see who's drinking their water.
Mm-hmm.
City of Chicago reminds you to cover your mouth when you cough and to wash your hands regularly. Now back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
Dr. Kevin Most checks in with the Steve Cochran Show to talk about COPD, new treatments in cancer, and the Cuban vaccine Monday morning at 640 on 720 WGN. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Rogers Roofing, Chevy Drive Chicago, and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is the number. Frank is in Naperville. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you?
Lou, I have assembled a device using three large blade screwdrivers that looks like a pitchfork. And my question is, using this device that I've kind of hooked up to a broomstick, can I use that as an aerator for my lawn after a heavy rain or after I have heavily watered the soil or the lawn instead of going out and renting the machine to aerate the soil?
What did you do, invent your own little garden weasel?
Pretty much. It's just I have three screwdrivers that resemble a pitchfork.
Right.
And I thought I could just go through the lawn and start stabbing it. And it's a little too cold. I'm hesitant to throw down some grass seed because I know that the birds will probably just have a feast of it.
So you essentially created your own pitchfork.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, so, you know, lawn aeration, though, you know, the machine that you rent and do whatever makes quicker work of it, but you literally could take a pitchfork or this device that you created, and all you're trying to do is loosen the soil and provide, you know, oxygen or, you know, air to the root structure. So if you go around and start, you know, jamming this thing up and down in the soil, I mean, right now, even the, did you get a, where are you at, Napier? Did you get a little rain last night?
A little bit, but not enough to really soften the soil.
Okay, you got a lot of clay out in Naperville, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to go start and, you know, stab away at it, you're going to have forearms like Popeye when you're done. But, you know, that could be a good thing.
As long as I switch arms.
Exactly. Yeah. Poke away. Poke away. And then the thing with, you know, this temperature is, you know, the you're right. The soil temperature is still a little bit too cool for the seed to start to germinate. But, you know, we're right there. I mean, my gosh, it's going to be May next week. So you would think that we'd start to warm up a little bit. And so if you wanted to do some seeding, because this is the time you have to do it, the only thing I would tell you is to cover it a little bit with either some peat moss or topsoil. You know, it should germinate pretty well for you.
I didn't know if it was essential that I had to go a certain depth in the soil to be effective.
I mean, you're just going a couple inches and that's it.
Very good. Yeah, thank you, Lou. Good.
All right, I appreciate you calling this morning. You're a little inventor there. Let's talk to Terry, who's in Plainfield. Terry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Lou, I have a question. My daughter bought new construction right next door here in Shorewood about a year ago.
Okay.
And it's a tri-level home. And when you go down the first set of stairs, like into her family room, she also has her laundry room.
Okay.
And there's a terrible odor coming from the drain that's in the laundry room for... you know, in case the washing machine overflows.
Okay.
And so we called the builder, and the builder said the drains were put in there to code, and you're just going to have to put some water in those drains from time to time. But that's horrible. Could that be really true, that that's how it has to be?
Well, so if it's a floor drain that has a trap in it, and the thing is that the water can evaporate in a floor drain.
And it does. There was no water in that drain.
Right.
At
and
the
so
time.
So the minute you put the water in, it was fine.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the trick. If the floor drain doesn't get used, then that every 6 months you can pour a little water down there. The other thing that you can do is pour some water down the drain and then pour about a quarter cup of vegetable oil over into the drain as well. The oil will sit on top of the water, and it will keep the water from evaporating.
Oh, yeah, because my daughter and son-in-law said, "Great, I bought a new home."
Yeah, that is a common occurrence. The oil trick works.
Hey, cool.
But I would put it in your calendar, even with the oil trick, once a year. Pour, whatever. Not even a bucket. You need to pour a big gulp down there, and that's it.
Right, because we just poured like a glass of water down there.
Yeah, and it's fine.
And it did.
Right.
Okay,
so if
cool.
you do that with the
I'm
vegetable oil, you'll do fine.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Terry. I appreciate you calling this morning. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We will take a quick break and be back right after this.
And now back to the Mr. Fix-It Show with your host, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's me.
Like it's time for a change.
Thanks, Roy.
You may get disgusted. Start thinking that I'm strange.
Larry's in McHenry. Larry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sitting in Ace Hardware.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I know the Ace Hardware in McHenry.
So my house is on a crawl. I'm about 250 feet away from the river. And 3 years ago, we had the crawl space encapsulated by PermaSeal. We dug the trench, put in the sump pump. But right now, the pump's running like every 2 minutes and ejecting. And none of the neighbors have any problem whatsoever. And they're not even pumping any water.
But it's pumping water.
Yes.
Where's it pumping water to?
Out. I dug a trench, so it's all the way out to the ditch in the street.
Right. Well, so the topography and the way your home sits versus your neighbor's can have a huge difference, right, as to how your home reacts over the neighbor's. And so the fact that you're so close to the river, as they are as well, there's got to be something that's feeding your system to cause it to work. Now, you say right now it's pumping like crazy. Has it been pumping like this prior to this or no?
For the past few weeks.
It's been pretty wet. Not that we've got a ton of rain, but... it's one thing if the pump was running and it wasn't kicking out any water, but if it's pumping water out, let me ask you this. Do you also have a water line that's near there?
The water line's at the complete other side of the house from where the pit is.
Okay. And you're not hearing any water running through that pit?
No. Well, through the pit, there's constantly water coming into the pit through the drain tile.
No. In other words, you're not hearing any water running through your system, your domestic water pipe.
Oh, no, correct.
None of that. Okay.
No.
I mean, my only suggestion to you would be to make sure that there's not a breach in your domestic water pipe that's, even though, because remember, there's drain tile in the encapsulation, so if that pipe that's at the complete other end of the house is dumping water in before the meter or before it comes in, that could be one source. You got to determine... determine it, that and the drain tie would pick that up. The other thing would be is with this, if the water level has raised up a little bit in that pit, can you get down into that encapsulated place and access the pit?
Yeah, and I've raised it up and put the pump on some bricks because I've already mentioned about that before.
Right, so did it stop?
It's still we're still pumping.
Wow. So. Well, at this point, what I would tell you is check that pipe, and I would have PermaSeal come back and check it out for you. They'll do that.
Okay.
That's what I would do. I appreciate you calling this morning. It is 8:25 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Now back to your host, your go-to handyman, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Get a trumpet stake.
That gentleman that called earlier with the water running, I got a note from a friend of mine who's a home builder and says, I built a lot of homes on the Fox and there is a ton of subsurface water, especially in the spring. So it could just be an environmental thing along the Fox there, and you're only 250 feet away. It's a lot of agua, and that pump is doing its job. Hopefully you got a backup in there as well. All right, speaking of backup. The number one problem with people when it comes to, it's not a good transition, speaking of backup, it has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about. You know what the number one problem is, Lindsay, when people are doing stuff around their home? Tell me. It's that they don't have a smart water bottle. That is the problem. If more people had a $55 smart water bottle, life would be better.
I feel like you're making fun of me.
Not you. You didn't make the smart water bottle. $29.99. I'll pay $29.99 for the smart water bottle to give to my Aunt Rose so she drinks more water.
Sierra
Rosa, if you're listening, drink some more water.
What would you pay if you could visualize your backyard with a water fountain and beautiful stone
more,
fire?
As we learned this morning on House Smarts Radio in New York, I'd spend more than $4.99. Joining me on the phone line right now is John Dean. His friends call him JD, and since we're now talking for the second time, we're friends, John, right?
That's right. I'll go with that.
All right. So John is the co-founder of an app for your phone. I'm way more excited about this than I am about the smart water bottle. Let's just make that clear. They have a brand new app for your iOS device called iScape. John, give us the 411 on what iScape is.
Sure. Well, will do. And happy birthday a little early, Lou. A birdie told me you got
thank you very much. Birthday. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So iScape, in the simplest sense, is a way for both a homeowner or a landscape pro to take a picture of a project before it starts. So a side yard, a backyard, a full install project with their phone or their iPad, and on screen in real time, drag and drop. We've got more than 3,000 images in the database. So could be trees, plants, bushes, sod, mulch, fences, water features. The list goes on and on. So quickly and easily be able to visualize a project before a shovel goes on the ground or before a dollar spent.
You know, when you and I spoke this morning, I was thinking about this point that I was going to make today in Chicago. I have a very good friend of mine, a landscape contractor, Joe Polina, who comes on this show, fairly regularly. He owns a company called Tommy Polina Landscape. And years ago, Joe has always been a guy into technology, and he showed me this piece of technology that he was using, and stay with me now, and this will date when it happened. His Palm Pilot, okay?
Right. That,
and his Palm Pilot was a way for his guys on a job to be able to take pictures of stuff that was going on. Like, you know, so they've had their service guys that would be out there servicing, and maybe there's a tree that's dead or something, and they could take a picture with the Palm Pilot. And if I'm remembering this right, somehow it would hook up with the Nextel phone, right? I mean, I'm dating myself in all this, but like back then I was like, wow, and you can send that image, and that's so amazing. And so now, you know, certainly we have the advent of, I've got my iPhone, I can take a picture and text it to you in 2 seconds. But you guys have created this platform from a design and visualization perspective that does not look like I'm taping a picture of something on it. It actually looks like it's living in the environment.
Yeah, totally. It's funny you mention your friend, because that's how iScape originated. So my business partner and the founder of iScape, Patrick Pizzuto, was a landscape professional and had his own company. And he found he couldn't get on the same page with clients because they saw something different in their mind's eye. And it was really hard for homeowners to rationalize the cost of some of these projects. So Patrick, as an entrepreneur, said, "You know what? I'm gonna build a piece of technology that bridges that gap and allows us to collaborate faster and better, and ultimately save everybody time and money, both the homeowner and the contractor. Works really well for DIYers too, of course. You know, if you want to see a project before you go buy materials, it'd be great to have that vision and know exactly what to go to the store and get."
I told this story earlier this morning, but, you know, Lindsay and her family live in a beautiful home. And sometimes I'll go to their house to do some filming or whatever, or stop by, and right along their front entry, there's this, have you planted anything there yet, or is it just pictures? And I said, you got to put some rose bushes right here because it's a great spot where the sun hits and whatever. And when she got a hold of this app, she sent me a picture, didn't say a thing, and just said, take a look. And I go, oh my gosh, you planted the rose bushes. It was a sunny, beautiful picture of her home. They looked 100% real. And you're like, no, we're going to talk to the person that invented this app.
Hey, and what do you think about the palm tree in my front yard?
All right, there was a palm tree. Like, I was so focused on the roses that then I'm like, wait a minute, a palm tree, that's not going to grow. But, I mean, you really did develop something that is super unique and intuitive. And I think that while you can certainly do it on the phone, I think doing it on a tablet would offer you such great vision to see all this thing. And one of the things that I thought was really cool is that instead of it just being plug and play, you have the ability within the app to actually carve out an area. Like if it's you take a picture of your backyard, right, and you upload it to the app, you can carve out the grass and make that a mulch bed and then put a arborvitae in there or a Bradford pear tree or whatever it may be from your database.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So we really do try and make it easy for users, you know, regardless of project. There's so many different things folks like to do. That's why we're building a bigger and bigger, you know, image database and library all the time. And one thing we've found is cool is the collaboration. So whether it's between, you know, husband and wife on a DIY project, or like we talked about, between a homeowner and a contractor, it just saves an immense amount of time to quickly, you know, and easily and visually get on the same page. And there's no room for misinterpretation. And like you mentioned, it's kind of fun to play with too. You know,
right.
Lindsay dropped a palm tree in her side yard. That might not work in Chicago, but it's fun to see what it might look like anyway.
Right. I know that this is all evolving, and right now, who is this app available to, and what are the costs on it?
Yep, available to anybody. They just need to go to the App Store. So there is a free trial. We're doing a promotion here in April because it was both Earth Day and Arbor Day, so that expires at the end of the month. After that trial, it's $4.99 for consumers, and for Landscape Pros, which is a much more fully featured app, more tools, more images, proposal feature, that's $19.99 a month. So it's available today. Or you can go to iscapeit.com, and check it out. You can see some samples and some cool stuff online.
Here's what I've learned today, Lindsay, is that the smart water bottle is too expensive and the iScape is too cheap. We need to find the thing in the middle. Maybe what we do is you buy the smart water bottle for $55 and you get the iScape. Right, and they could work out a deal together, something like that. See if we can make that happen. One other thing that I was thinking about after we hung up, I know that when you do this kind of stuff, like you, it evolves, and you kind of look at what's the next thing. And I don't know if this is possible, but it came to me after we got done talking on the New York show. Do you think it would be possible from a database perspective that when people go and look at and I don't know how you would do this, but it really would be cool to kind of have a price thing. Like, in other words, you had mentioned something about, like, look, if you want to put a 4-foot, arborvitae, that's cheaper than a 10-foot arborvitae, right? If there was like a price range that you could somehow have, like a almost like a calculator that gave people a range, so that when they're messing around in the app, not the labor, but the cost of the plants, you know. I mean, it would have to be something that would constantly be updated, but I think that'd be cool.
So you're a very smart man, Lou, and we didn't talk about this, but it already exists. So in the pro version, Landscape Pros can set their own pricing, both for materials and labor, so that while they're on a job site, literally they're looking at the visualization on iScape with a customer, making changes, and then they hit one button and submit proposal, and everything they're looking at on screen is sent both to them and the homeowner with material pricing based on what's in the iScape design, and then any labor to install it. And the contractors can set custom pricing, of course. So that's just been a huge, huge feature for our pro audience.
Wow.
Been waiting for it for a while, and we built it. And the next step is to bring that to the consumer market at some point with some average price.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, you, yeah, because, right, because, I mean, the type of, you know, you could put average prices there, and there could be some problem with a certain line of plants that didn't come through where they're a little bit more expensive. But it'd be cool for people to say, wow, I played around with this thing, and all these plants, if I did it, would cost around $500, you know what I mean, as an estimate. That's so cool. Well, That I'm glad you guys have that. All right, one more time. How do they find this thing? It's awesome, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So go to the App Store. It's available for any of your Apple iOS devices, called iScape, or you can go to our website at iscapeit.com, and see some samples and check it out. Would love to hear some feedback from folks once they get into it and start playing with it. We're really excited. We're almost at 2 million downloads, so obviously I think we might be on to something.
Wow. John Dean, co-founder of iScape. You can find the app at the App Store. John, thanks again for coming back on with us this morning. Have a great weekend.
Likewise. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Take care. That's awesome. That's cool. I like people that come up with good ideas, and then people, they like them, right? And it works, and that's the use of technology that makes sense to me, Lindsay Smithwick. You know where I'm going here?
I sure do, Lou.
Okay, we'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines. This is Georgiana in Park Ridge. Hi, Georgiana. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good morning, Lou.
Morning.
Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you.
We have one nice, beautiful piece of countertop with a sunk-in toilet, sunk-in sink, but you cannot remove the sink without removing the entire countertop. The sink is deteriorated to, you know, grayish in spots, so it's not white anymore. And I'd like to, you know, paint it or do something to it.
Okay, wait. So you mean you have an undermount sink?
That's right.
And what is the countertop?
The countertop is, it looks like, you know, marble, but it's fake stuff, you know.
Oh, okay. And the countertop's in good shape?
Perfect.
And you can't take the sink out because why? It's sitting on top of the cabinet?
It's one piece.
Oh. So it's like a solid surface material.
Yes.
So it's like a Corian?
Yes, that would be something like,
Let me ask you this.
Some fiberglass. Say it's a fiberglass or, I don't know, what do they call those products? It's about 10, 15 years old.
Okay, but is the sink the same color as the countertop?
No, it's white.
It's white. Okay, so what color is the countertop?
It's speckled, brownish.
And when you put your hand on the countertop and you, like, if you rub your hand from the countertop into the sink, it's smooth. There's no seam or anything.
There's like a lip. There's a lip there.
Oh, there is? There is a lip.
There's a lip, but you can't really remove. You know, it's all one piece.
It's all one piece. Okay, so I'm going to assume that it's a solid surface material of some sort. And if that's the case, so is that sink, and that sink can be sanded.
I could sand that, okay.
Okay, so you're saying that it's dull or it's scratched? What is the condition of the sink?
It has a lot of gray spots, you know, where the water is...
All right, here's what I want you to try to do, okay? I want you to go to the hardware store, and I want you to ask them to give you some emery cloth.
Okay.
It's a very fine sandpaper, okay? And I want you to, you're going to get your work out here, Georgiana. You're going to bend a little of that sandpaper in your hand. And in one little spot, okay, I want you to, in a circular motion, kind of a random circular motion, I want you to sand the material. And I want you to spend 5 minutes right there in a little spot, a spot the size of a silver dollar, okay?
Okay, right.
And if all of a sudden you're like, holy smokes, it's like brand new. That guy on the radio, he doesn't make this stuff up. Then you're going to do the whole sink.
Okay, I'll try that.
All right. Now, if it doesn't work, which I think it will, then you could probably paint the sink with like a tub and tile paint, which you can also get at the hardware store.
Okay.
But start with this emery cloth, 300 grit emery cloth.
300 grit. Okay.
All right. Call me back next week and let me know what happens.
I will. And, you know, when you go in the shower and all of a sudden the faucet makes a lot of noise. Just, you know, when you spray it, what do you spray it with?
What do you mean it makes a lot of noise?
Nah, you know, the water's running.
You mean when you're in the shower and you turn, you make it go, you hit it up so it comes down?
The water's coming down all the time.
So when you pull the stopper that for the water comes out of the shower head?
Yes.
It's whining. The whole time or just the first, right when it starts?
Not at the beginning, but after a while.
Okay. So the next time that does that, I want you to try putting your hand to cover the spout so no water comes out of the spout. And if that stops the whining noise, you need to have the spout replaced.
Okay.
All right. What was that sound? What was the sound that the shower head makes? All right. Thank you for calling. Don't ever call again. It's 8:58 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now when you're feeling low and the fish won't bite.
This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by wetandforget.com, sponsored by Espoma Organic Potting Soils, and by Ace Hardware.
Kevin Most checks in with the Steve Cochran Show to talk about COPD, new treatments in cancer, and the Cuban vaccine. Monday morning at 6:40 on 720 WGN.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Candy in Oak Lawn. Hi, Candy. You're on WGN.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. What's going on?
Fantastic. I've got a question. So we have...
Wait, hold on, Candy. Something really funny just happened. So Pete McMurray just came in here to say hello to me. Pete McMurray, awesome Pete McMurray, is going to be on for John Williams today. Do you listen to John Williams?
Absolutely.
Do you listen to Pete McMurray when he's on?
I can honestly say I don't know.
All right, well, today, please listen at 10 o'clock. Pete is a very talented young man. So anyway, he comes in and talks to me. He's chatting with me. And he turns and he says, is that Lindsay? He's never met my producer, Lindsay. And so I said, oh, have you two not met? I go in and say hello to her. You know, she's in another room from me. From me. And she says, don't come in here. It smells. And I said, what? She goes, I'm eating a Mexican breakfast.
I'm so happy this is shared on.
I mean, it's for a young, pretty woman to say, don't come in here, it smells. I mean, you know where my mind went initially, not that I'm eating a Mexican breakfast. How do you know Pete doesn't like Mexican food?
As soon as I said it, I heard what I said. Nice to meet you, Pete.
All right. Sorry, Candy. I just digress. I just couldn't get that out of my head. How can I help you?
No worries. So we have a fairly new poured driveway, and we had some workers come in, drove over a spot right at the first pad of the driveway, and cracked from the bottom part to the side. So it's like a corner crack. And they're willing to replace it. That's all cool. But when we had the concrete guy come out, we were given two options. One was to re-pour just that pad and be done with it. Or he gave us an option of kind of a skim coat of some sort.
No. No.
Okay.
Cut out the pad. When did you have the concrete done?
Probably 4 years ago.
Okay. Cut out the pad. Put in the new pad. You're done.
Okay.
No skim coat, especially if you're going to get the contractor to pay for the pad.
Great. Okay.
That skim coat will be a nightmare for you.
Will it? Okay.
Yeah. Not if you lived
because
in
of the location of that crack.
No, because of the location where you live. I mean, if you lived in Tennessee, where you know, maybe Tennessee is a bad example. If you lived in some place where it's more temperate climate, that's one thing. But we get, you know, it's April and it's 20 degrees. In the winter, it's, you know, below zero, and then it's going to be 90 before you know it. And that constant switch in temperature back and forth is going to just cause whatever skim coat they put on there to pop up.
Okay. So let me ask you a follow-up to that. So if we have them redo that pad, because it's the one right in front of our house, I'm 99% sure it's not going to match nicely, and it's going to look like not a brand-new driveway with a crack in it. It's going to look like a pad replaced with, you know, different coloring. Could we skim coat the entire driveway to make it look better?
No. No. Here's what you're going to do. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be, the coloration is going to be different. But what I would tell you is, let's clean the existing. Here's what I would do. I would clean the driveway really well with a cleaner that's going to do a really nice job. You know what's going to do a really nice job for you? And you can test this out. Take go buy a thing of Concrobium mold stain eraser. Okay. And you can put it in a bucket with a gallon of water, and you're going to mop it on one of those pads, and you're going to see, oh my gosh, it looks brand new. And it's going to be a lot brighter than what you have right now. When they pour the new one, yeah, it'll be a little bit brighter, but in about a year or so, everything's going to kind of blend in. You'll always know that that's a little more newer, but yeah, don't skim coat it.
Okay.
Not something that's new.
Fair enough. That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Candy. I appreciate you calling. Don't come in here. It's 9:14 in the morning, 312-981-7200. Let's talk to John in Naperville. Hi, John. Just think about that. Pete has never met you before, and the first thing you said to him is, don't come in here. It stinks in here. What kind of first impression is that? She's not even talking to me anymore. John, how can I help you?
Hi. My daughter lives in Lockport, and she had a stamped patio concrete done in her backyard about 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
And it's still so slippery that it's really hard to walk on it. And when it's wet, it's like ice.
Wow. Does it have a color on it?
Yes.
And like a finish over the top?
Yes.
We need to etch it. How are we going to do that? Who's going to do this? You?
I don't know.
So a contractor can come in and etch it and kind of clean it up a little bit and try and put a little texture to it. Has it held up pretty well? Like, it hasn't cracked or anything like that?
Right, it's held up pretty well, and the stamping is like stones.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So it's not all level, you know what I mean?
Right, but when it's wet, it's slick. You need the concrete to be etched. And so did she have a contractor out there that's still around that she can contact?
I'm not sure.
All right. You need to find a concrete contractor and talk to them in that area that they can come out and etch the concrete. Basically, they're going to put an acid over the top of it to brush it on to kind of open up that finish on the top so it's not as slippery. And then they may go back and seal it again, but then it won't have that slipperiness that you have right now. That's problematic what you have right there. You can't get that. You can't keep that going.
No, I know.
Right.
And the contractor, the guy that did it, he said after time that'll go away, but it hasn't gone away.
Yeah, it should be gone already.
Right, right. Can I say one other thing?
You can.
I'm a retired electrician, and on one of your shows on Friday, a gentleman called in about getting shocked when he turned the circuit off. And you said it might be a back feed, but I'm wondering maybe he got in between the neutral and got shocked off of that. That was the only thing that I wanted to say.
I'm trying to remember. He got
shocked. It was on Friday morning.
When I was on with Steve?
Yes.
And remind me what it was. Remind me what the question was.
The question was, he turned the circuit off to change the outlet, and he took it apart, and he got shocked, even though the circuit was off. And you were thinking, well, maybe there's a back feed coming from somewhere else.
Right.
But if he got in between the neutral, if it came apart, he could have got shocked in between the neutral. It carries the unbalanced load back
right
to the paint.
Right. You know, I'm all in. Look, and you're, as a retired electrician, you'll certainly agree with me on this. I'm always so leery about giving electrical advice. Because there's so much that can be wrong, right? I mean, how many times how many times have you in your career opened up a box and you're like, what in the heck did they do here? You know?
Oh, well, that's for sure.
You know, and when it comes to, you know, let's say that outlet was a GFCI outlet, right? Maybe they had two of them wired together, right? But the other one was still on, and it was, you know, there was a hot wire coming back the other way. You just don't know, you know, and so it's
if they turn the circuit off, that shouldn't
happen. Right, exactly,
with wire to another one.
It is my least favorite thing. I know just enough to get people the basics, but you know, if you've listened to me with any regularity, you'll always hear me say, you know, what
neutrals can cause many, many problems.
Absolutely. And then people mess around with it and they do stuff that they shouldn't be doing, and then it's not set up the right way. So anyway, I appreciate your phone call, and good luck with that patio.
Well,
thank you for taking mine, and we will. You can't recommend a contractor out there, can you?
Well, here's what I could tell you: you could do. You could go to NARI, which is the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NARI, NARI.org. And if you plug in the zip code where your daughter lives, you should be able to find an electrician that's a concrete guy that's a member out there that you could contact.
Thank you very much.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. 9:19 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini, a.k.a. the Mr. Fix-It Show. He got the tools on Chicago's very own 720. He got the tools, WGN.
So we did a whole little virtual candy jar on behalf of Ms. Recordia. And through the generosity of you wonderful listeners, as well as many of the people that we talk about on the radio, you know, companies that we've featured who are grateful for a little bit of publicity have put some donations into our virtual candy jar. And I'm so appreciative for your donations on behalf of Misericordia. It really was something that started actually 2 years ago. And in a conversation that I had with Barry Sterner about doing something that would be a way to do some philanthropic give back, and he wanted to do through his company. We actually did not do it last year. It kind of all just escaped. I think everybody was so busy. But it came up again. Again, it was on the sort of suggestion of Barry, and we did it again, and we actually did it again. Joining me on the phone line right now is the founder and president of Townstone Financial, Barry Sterner. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Lou. And we will not forget next year.
We will not forget next year. It's too important of a purpose. And you and your company were kind enough to do a $5,000 match if we got there to the $5,000, and we not only got there, but we exceeded that. And I wanted to take some time this morning to say thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your contribution on behalf of Townstone Financial to Misericordia.
Well, I appreciate it. We're happy to do it. And, you know, the jelly bean jar, I think I pasted at least 30 or 40 times in all our social media. I feel like I was inside that jar as it was growing.
Yeah, no, you were terrific.
And the good part is we got some good weather this weekend for them to collect. I know the last few years, in fact, 2 years ago when I was in there, I don't know if you recall, it was raining.
Pouring rain, and
they were standing out pouring rain. And
yeah,
it's a little cool today, but I'm sure they're going to be out there all weekend. So remind all the listeners that they're going to be collecting. It's all weekend, right? It's Saturday and Sunday?
No, it's Friday and Saturday. So today's the second
Saturday,
day.
Okay.
Yeah. So today's
I saw them yesterday, right? Yeah.
Yeah, today's the final day. That's great.
I am out in Lincolnwood today, and I have not seen one yet, but I know my son has a couple dollar bills here because I told him.
That's great.
Let all the listeners know that they still can contribute there, and I'm thrilled. And it wouldn't happen, I have to tell everyone, without Lou, because I know, Lou, that you put your heart and soul into that and talked about it all the time, and that the jelly beans were raised in there, and we got over 5,000. I believe last weekend, right?
Last Friday, Saturday, we put a big push on it on last Saturday's show, and before the show ended on Saturday, we had attained that goal, and then some other people came in and stepped up. So it's just terrific, and I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity on behalf of Misericordia and our virtual candy jar. And you know, people hear your voice and they hear the promotion of Townstone Financial here on WGN Radio quite regularly. And obviously, if people are looking to refinance or looking for a home equity line or want to buy a new home, they can certainly contact you and get your expertise. So what's that phone number if they want to do that, Barry?
312-896-2110, or they can go to townstone.com. We're working today a little bit, so if anybody's looking in this beautiful day, it's about 45 degrees, right? And there's no snow on the weekend, so we're looking good today. But yeah. I just want to say, Lou, I appreciate you having Townstone with you on this. You know, I believe in the cause, obviously. You and I have been to different functions with Misericordia here over the years. And everybody who contributed, I want to say thank you very much.
Barry, thank you so much. Have a terrific weekend, all right?
You too.
Bye-bye. That's great. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
Would you please say the word kibitzer with the emphasis on the kib instead of the kibitzer?
Oh, Jose, shalom bimromav.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
You said kibitzer.
With Lou Manfredini.
Uyase shalom aleinu.
You said kibitzer instead of kibitzer.
He's here to take your calls.
Wait, now say it again. How do I say it?
Kibitzer.
Kibitzer.
No, see, you said it wrong already.
To answer your questions.
Kibitzer.
Or just take some constructive criticism.
Kibitzer.
Right. Better.
Oh, and did I forget to mention his area of expertise? Call us with any of your home improvement questions.
Yahaseh shalom, yahaseh shalom.
Hey!
Shalom aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael.
There you go, you're good. Welcome back.
Yahaseh shalom, shalom aleinu.
312-981-7200.
Yahaseh shalom, shalom aleinu.
I wish I knew what he was saying. It was Jim in Wheaton. Hey, Jim, you're on WGN.
Hello, Lou.
How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. I have a water hammer issue on the back of a refrigerator. And I'm just wondering, will a water hammer eliminator take care of the issue?
Are we sure it's not just the... do you know what the water feed that feeds your fridge? Is it like a long piece of copper?
No, it's copper pipe, and then from the copper pipe with the fitting, it is a
poly vinyl
hose that comes up through the floor up to the back of the fridge.
Up through the floor. So, like, if it
comes up.
But you can pull the fridge out, right?
Yes.
There's enough of it to allow you to pull the fridge out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. I have not pulled it out since it was installed. It's less than 5 years old, and I have never pulled it out since it was installed.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure there's plenty in the back.
And is it a vibrating sound, or is it like a hammer?
It's a hammer. In my old house, I put them in for the washing machine, but I put them real close to the washing machine. Here, only place I can put it is in the basement, 6-8 feet away at the beginning of this.
Right. Have you drained the system down yet?
Yes, I've done that, and it had no effect on it.
Okay. Here's what I would do. One more time. Does this fridge have a water? Can you fill with water? Or is it just an ice maker?
No, it's a water dispenser.
Okay.
It works fine.
Yeah. So I want you to try draining it down one more time. But then when you drain it down the next time, I want you to have somebody filling the thing with water. Okay.
All right.
And then shut the main off. Or how do I want to say? Shut the main off. Have someone fill a glass of water, and then open up the faucet in the basement. And until you start hearing it backfeed out of there. See what I mean? If you don't open that valve, I think that water hammer's happening inside that fridge somewhere. That I think if you clear the fridge and you backfeed the water line coming back, you'll do it. The water hammer, if you put one on the end of that spout in the wall, it should help, but I think if you do this, it'll work.
All right, now let me get it clear here now.
Turn off the main.
Right.
Have someone go turn off the main and have someone, before you do anything, have them go take a piece of glass like you're filling water.
Right.
Not much is going to come out, but at the same time, once they're holding it there, you go down and open up the basement valve and open up all the valves, flush all the toilets in the house. Until you hear it feeding through that, you'll hear the water, the air coming through, like it's sucking back because it's going down to the basement.
All right, will I hear this up in the fridge, or will I hear it down where the...
You'll hear it in the fridge. It in the fridge.
Oh, gotcha.
Then shut it off, fill the system back up, and I bet the water hammer's done.
Okay, I'll give it a shot. Thanks, Lou.
You got it. Thank you for calling 312-981-7200. This is Marianne. Hi, Marianne. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I have a question. My son lives in Justice. He bought this house about 4 years ago, and he has beautiful pavers in the backyard, except for how do you get rid of all the moss that grows between the pavers? What's the easiest solution?
Wet and forget.
Wet and forget.
Have him go, okay. have him go buy a bottle of wet and forget with the hose sprayer, hose it all down. In about 30 days, it'll be gone.
Okay, wet and forget. Okay, and then a few of the pavers are sinking. What's the best solution
for that? He's going to lift up those few pavers, and he's going to add a little sand on the base of that to reset it, and he may have to play with it a little bit to kind of fill in the pocket and tamp it down. And then in between there, you're going to put what's called parabolic sand that will go, that he'll fill in, he'll pour it on there, and it's it bonds a little bit when it gets wet so it doesn't wash away.
Okay, parabolic sand. All right, and then my last question for you is, I believe he lives on an anthill.
Wow.
It must be an ant mansion or something, like when they dig the dirt to plant a few plants in the backyard or something. I mean, there are these little fast-moving ants. I mean, what's the best solution for that?
So if it's for the entire yard, there's a shaker, a big container of what would you call it? It's like a bag that you turn upside down from a company called Bonide, and they make a ant product called Revenge. And you're gonna take that and just shake it around the yard and shake it around the perimeter of the house too, because that's gonna help. It's a feed that they'll take back to the colony, and after a few days, it literally will eliminate the colony. And if you sprinkle it in the grass as well, it's safe to use. Not going to harm any animals or kids, but it's not the ants. It's not good for the ants.
Oh, perfect!
All right,
perfect.
Or it's good for the ants. I guess it depends on your perspective. It is called Bonide.
Bonide
Revenge.
Bonide Revenge. Okay, and we get that at Ace Hardware.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, perfect. Okay, thank you very much.
Marianne, have a lovely day. Appreciate you calling this morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Let's talk to Brenda. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. I've got these little ants coming into my home.
No matter what your question is, bugs, paint, roofing, gardening, leaky toilets, Lou's got an answer.
Wait, so I'm just curious, though. So there's a queen ant that's, like, directing them?
All you have to do is call 312-981-7200.
Okay. Wait, are you talking about my life or are you talking about your ants?
Right here on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I do wake up in the morning.
Does his teeth bite to eat on these roads?
I do that too. Never changes. Here's Steve in Arlington Heights. Steve, you're on WGN.
Hey, it's great to talk to you, Lou. I listen to you every Saturday on my way to work in Beverly.
Thank you very much. How can I help you?
Of course. So me and my wife are buying a house in Des Plaines, and our inspector, Inspector George, told us that we have cloth wiring kind of like all over the place, and we want to know how imminent it is that we get that replaced. You know, how big of a problem is that?
Well, it's an older house, right?
It's an older house. That's correct.
So, you know, the issue with the cloth wiring in general is when you start messing with changing out devices and whatnot, that cloth on older homes, it starts to deteriorate and come off. Sure. And there, you know, and you start moving it around, and
well, it's actually we're fairly certain it's all contained within conduit.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it is. And so as it sits there, it's not a problem. The minute you start messing with it, here's what can happen with cloth wiring. So let's just say you're I don't know, you decide you're going to add an outlet, or you're going to change an outlet in the kitchen, and you kill the breaker and you pull the device out, and you're starting to mess with it, and you're moving it, and you're pulling the wire. Well, because that cloth is so old, a piece of it can fall off in the middle of the pipe somewhere, not necessarily just at the box. And so is it a problem if you don't touch it? Probably not. I assume the house has breakers.
Yes.
Okay, so yep. you're protected by that panel. I will tell you that when you moving forward, when you go to do any kind of remodeling, you're probably going to have to talk with an electrician to rewire the whole house.
And yeah, so we actually had a guy come in and give us a pretty, you know, fat estimate. And so that's kind of why we're like, do we need to get a major credit on this house or can we move forward? You know,
I mean, I think that the cloth wiring is one of those things. As a buyer, you certainly have a claim to say, look, from a safety perspective,
yeah,
I have to rewire this house. Now, how big of a home, how many bedrooms, how big is it?
Oh, it's three bedrooms. It's a single floor home. Not too big at all. Okay. Yeah, it's a ranch. Yeah.
I mean, if an electrician were to come and have to pull all new wiring through that home, they'd probably spend, you know, a couple of people could spend, you know, three days probably easily, plus devices to do all that. And so I hesitate to give you a price because it all depends on the shape of the conduit and whatever, but it's in the thousands of dollars.
Sure. Yeah. You know?
So
yep.
I would probably use that as a bargaining chip.
No doubt. Okay. All right. So that's great. But it's as far as it being like, you know,
I got to do it right. I have to do it right this second. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No. But I would
do. Well, that's pretty comforting.
But I would do it.
Okay, so put it on the docket
right.
For eventually sometime.
Yeah, that's something you got to. So I mean, it's the type of thing that if you move forward and hopefully you can get some kind of credit for, you know, let's make up the number and say, hey, it's $5,000 to do this, and mm-hmm. the people are like, I'm not going to give you $5,000, but I'm going to give you $2,500. Well, you got that credit to put there, and you know, if it were me moving into that house, knowing that you're going to make improvements. The first thing I'm going to do, even though it's not sexy, is I'm going to have the wiring changed and the devices changed, the switches, the receptacles, all that stuff.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
All right, good luck. I hope it all goes well. Thank you for listening, and I hope that you get the house and you're happy there. That sounds like fun. It's always fun to buy a new house. We'll be right back. Time for Lou's last call. Thank you so much for listening. Let's see who we're going to talk to. Thanks to Domati for doing news, and thanks for Joe on sports, Ferguson for pushing the buttons, and Lindsay for being the best producer a person can have. This is Dominic. Hey, Dominic, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou. How are you? Great to listen to you on Saturday morning.
Thank you, sir.
You're my second favorite WGN host.
Who's the first?
Wendy Schneider.
All right, fine.
I could listen to her voice and laugh all day long.
Yeah, I like her, too. I guess she's my first, too. All right, that's fine. We both agree. How can I help you?
So you're getting a lot of calls today about patios and concrete, and mine is on those lines, too. I'm looking for a product to revitalize the look, the color, the shine of brick pavers and colored stamped concrete.
Well, okay, so the thing to, you know, to get the color is a problem because if they're concrete pavers, that fading just is part of the deal, right? That kind of washed out look that happens over time. The color retention's tough. Now, it can be restained, okay, literally stained to bring the color back, and then there's a sealer that goes over the top of that. It starts with cleaning it first. And so in both those areas, you got a couple of choices. Are you going to do a bunch of this work yourself?
Is this for pavers or concrete?
Pavers.
I'm mostly concerned with pavers.
Yeah, okay. Pavers.
I'm going to try to do it myself.
Right. So the pavers, right, you have concrete pavers.
Yes.
Right. And how old are they?
Yes. They're probably about 10 years old.
Yeah. So, I mean, they, you know, that color fades over time. And so first you're going to get it clean. So there's a couple ways to go. You can just buy an outdoor cleaner. I really like this Penifin outdoor cleaner, which is a deck cleaner, but you can use it on concrete pavers. And you're going to mix it in a bucket, and you're going to brush it on with a broom. And in a perfect world, if you got a pressure washer to kind of clean it all up, that's great. Then, if you go to a paving supplier, where are you at, Dominic? Where are you located?
I'm in Whitewater, Wisconsin right now, but I also live in Elmhurst, Illinois.
And so where is this project?
In Elmhurst.
Oh, okay. So you got to find, you got to go to like Illinois Brick, or you got to go to Pavelock. They will have stain for your pavers. And you're literally going to brush that on or mop it on to provide that color that you're looking for. I would test it out in a couple spots so you get the trick of how to put it down. And they will also have the sealer that you're going to put over the top of that. It really will look nice. It's almost like staining a deck. And on the stamped concrete, they have stuff for that too. But the thing with concrete, what you have to worry about is that it's it absorbs differently. And so you're going to have to be comfortable with a little bit of marbling that may occur in the color. But that'll look nice when it all blends in. So when you get back down to Elmhurst, go to like Pavelock or Illinois Brick. Talk to them about their stain and their sealer. And I think you'll see some really nice results. Thanks so much for the phone call. Thank you all so much for listening.